Nicholas of the Real World. Professor Dawson, it's to nine. Well, it's been a disastrous week on the financial markets, of course. Can't argue that. What you can argue about, or at least discuss, is the long-term effect of such traumatic events, not just on our lives in the sense that we have to pull our belts in, but on the way we live, the way we view the world, perhaps. Oliver James is a psychologist who's written a book with the intriguing title Affluenza. Dominic Sandbrook is an historian. Oliver, you're talking about this being something like the fall of the Soviet Empire in terms of the change of our thinking, in our thinking.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, in only 3 weeks, you know, neoliberal, Blatcherite, selfish capitalism has been completely discredited in its own terms. You know, it's been proven conclusively not to work. And just like the end of the Soviet Union, it's really bewildering how quickly it's happened. That claim that private enterprise is good, public service incompetent, can never again be made with a straight face. It turns out, really, I think, that all that selfish capitalism did was to make the rich a great deal richer, and all this business with funny money, get rid of manufacturing real jobs and replace it with funny money jobs, which were the very rich creamed off a huge amount of the money. The higher up the food chain, the greater the salary and the bonus. So what I'd really like to hear now is a loud and abject apology from neoliberalism's cheerleaders, the Tories who gave us the big bang in the city, but also from Brown and Blatcher himself, who told us it was possible to live on thin air, as his chum Charlie Ledbetter put it. And I want to hear a grovelling, we got it horribly wrong, from the newspaper and broadcast commentators who espouse this rotten ideology, whether that's Jeff Randall of the BBC or Samuel Britton of the FT or Martin Kettle in the Guardian.
Jeff Randall is no, I'm not going to defend him, he's very capable of doing that for himself, but he is not of the BBC, he is of the Telegraph now, but there we are.
Of course he is, darling.
Of course he is, yeah. But this, the idea of why do you couple selfish and capitalism together? I mean, capitalism is what it is and always has been.
I make a big distinction in my book, The Selfish Capitalist, between the English-speaking nations' political economies, which create materialism, or what I call affluenza, which put tremendous pressure on people to want to place a high value on money, possessions, appearances, fame. And those things are what make us more mentally ill. We're twice as mentally ill compared with people in mainland Western Europe. And if we want to look for the answer, it's actually called unselfish capitalism. It's been sitting there in mainland Western continental Europe for all this time. We've had
that's rose-coloured specs, isn't it? You're not looking at the real world. You're looking at the world as you'd like it to be. Capitalism worked perfectly well to raise our standards of living for a very long time.
There's nothing wrong with capitalism. It's selfish capitalism that's the problem. That turns us into shop till you drop, it could be you, credit fuel, consumer junkies.
Right. Well, now, that's an interesting thought. Dominic Sandbrook, what does history tell us about that? Because this is relatively new, isn't it, in terms of history? Oh, the shop till you drop thing, let's beat the credit card to death.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, it's something that you see emerging in the 1950s when you have the rise of the affluent society. Harold Macmillan's never had it so good, ethos and all of that kind of thing. And I suppose you see it coming in the 50s. I mean, the one thing that I'd say is the parallel that a lot of people make is with the Great Depression, isn't it? People say, oh, you know, we're facing another 1930s or whatever. I mean, if we are, then we're only... I mean, it's worthwhile remembering that the Great Depression lasted until the Second World War. So if we are, we're only at 1929 or 1930, and we've got an awful long way to go. But I suppose the legacy that the Depression left, and particularly the sort of austerity that followed it, you know, the rationing and whatnot, is it kind of inculcated this fear of unemployment, which obviously had huge political consequences, but also a kind of make, do and mend culture, you know, the sort of don't throw anything away, don't waste anything, which is obviously something that we have now completely lost. So we live in this, with this, you know, disposable consumerist world.
But that's partly because it has kept the wheels of capitalism turning, hasn't it? I mean, if it is actually cheaper to chuck the telly out and buy a new one than it is to get it mended, that actually feeds the machine.
Absolutely, of course, and that's what television manufacturers and people who sell these things, you know, they inculcate, because otherwise no one would ever buy another TV again. You know, you'd only need one. I think the thing that's obviously interesting about this is that this has coincided with this sort of upsurge in environmental interest. So if the two go together, a possible consequence is that we might see a sort of rise in ideas of sustainability, and people realise that the debt-fueled disposable culture is something that we just have to consign to the history books.
Oliver, will that make us happier?
I definitely think so. I mean, the relative poverty that the recession or depression will herald will certainly mean that some people will, you know, kill themselves and be very unhappy for a time. And we are addicted to affluenza, so it'll be difficult for us to get used to putting our real needs ahead of our wants, wants confected by marketing and advertising. But in time, the brightest and best will start leaving universities, as they did in my day, wanting to be academics, you know, university lecturers like Andrew.
Oh, sure, that'll make us
social
happier.
Workers.
Well,
and, you know, when the dust settles, I think everyone will just say, thank God, all that consumerist American
nonsense
is over. No, we can't all be academics, but plenty of people will also want to work in business. Whatever happened to manufacturing industry? People wanting to set up companies that actually made real things rather than credit derivatives, you know, rather than funny money, never land nonsense that the cleverest people in our society have been...
Dominic Sandbrook, wish we had more time, but will it make us happier, this new world order, if that's what it is?
Hard to say. I mean, happiness is something that's impossible to measure in history. The only thing I would say is that, of course, something like this did happen before in the 1970s, and the result of that 10 years later was the get-rich-quick mentality of the 80s and the yuppie sort of ethos. So it's a bit early to say whether this will end in some sort of grand transformation of our sort of social outlook.
But it may, you're both saying. Well, it'll be interesting in years to get you back in 10 years and see whether it's happened. Dominic Sandbrook, Oliver James, thank you both.
Dan Clark and Ollie Stone Lee were our...
Thank you both.